Alrighty, welcome to Humans of Grappling, episode 4. We have Rashad Satterwhite.
Yes.
Cool. That's how you pronounce your name. Sweet. So yeah, we actually like trained this morning. This is actually interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've never. I mean, it's only been 4 episodes, but it's an interesting aspect of like, yeah, we just trained, and it's like I haven't really rolled with you maybe once or twice before.
Yeah, I think maybe at the open mats on Sundays. And
yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah. So I noticed you had a CIF jacket on, and we were talking about wrestling technique after class, so I take it you're a very good wrestler.
Yeah, wrestling is always, like, gravitated towards my heart a little bit more than jiu-jitsu, but I feel like they work so hand-in-hand that it works out perfectly.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Like, it's a... would you say that's, like, your base since you wrestled in high school?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what... how did you get started in wrestling?
I got started in wrestling because my coach from back home, Joe Stevenson, told me, like, hey, if you're going to fight, you should wrestle. So
Joe Stevenson. Oh, wow. Like, that's a big name, right?
Yeah. During the time, I was going to, like, a like a school where you just did, like, packet work, and you go inside, you turn it in, and you do a test.
Oh, really?
So once he told me to wrestle, I actually switched to a high school in my area and just started wrestling right off the bat and stuff like that.
Oh, awesome. Sweet. So, what, like, about, like, what grade or whatever?
Started wrestling in high school collegiately since I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay,
but
cool.
I've been wrestling before that just with, like, some of the other fighters in class.
So you did MMA first?
Yeah.
Or you started MMA? Okay, cool.
Yeah, I kind of did things backwards.
Right?
Yeah, but, so I consider wrestling my base, but when I was younger, I did Jeet Kune Do and Muay Thai and stuff like that since the age of 5, so... I just kind of like just gravitate towards wrestling a little bit more.
Sweet. Yeah, that's really, I don't know. Yeah, like different than, like so you have like a martial arts background versus wrestling is like a sport. Like, usually you do wrestling the sport, then you get into like other mixed martial arts and stuff like that. But so that's interesting. What got you into your, what did you start first? Which martial art did you?
I started Jeet Kune Do first.
Cool. What drew you to that?
So my dad is always, so as long as I can remember, my dad's always worked with individuals with special needs.
Okay.
And one of his clients wanted us to sit down and watch one of his practices. And I seen the practice and I was like, Dad, I gotta try this. That looks cool.
Right.
And ever since I tried it, it's been like a history ever since. And I just have had fun doing it the whole time.
Cool. Sweet. Yeah. I just turned my mic around and now I can hear myself better. So this is like, I just realized my microphone was backwards. So hopefully people could still hear me, but yeah.
Now yeah, I was able to hear you and stuff like that. So we should be good.
Cool. Okay. So yeah, that's really like interesting that, so you start off with like striking first. So I guess of course you're like, sounds like you're very well rounded. Like I looked up some of your fights and or the results of your fights, and you finished a number by submission too, right?
Yeah.
So your jiu-jitsu is also very good.
Yeah. So we have a joke in my family that like even though I started striking, I love striking so much.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu and wrestling is always something that I always stayed away from.
Yeah.
And once I seen it, I kind of like gravitated towards it so much
because
my original Jeet Kune Do instructor was all like, "Oh, ground stuffers isn't that important?" Yada. Yeah. So when I ended up going to the gym under Joe Stevenson, Cobra Kai, I see the grappling. And, like, for the first couple months, I'm like, that looks fun, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
And then he just threw me into a class one day. He was like, hey, just try it.
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, I was at my first Naga tournament. And I was like, like, this is awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
That's dope. What belt are you in jiu-jitsu?
Purple.
Purple belt. Cool.
Yeah. I received my purple belt last year in August, I believe.
Okay. Dope. Yeah, so you've got legit submissions and like you feel like super solid like rolling this morning. I mean, I only was able to do stuff because I'm like I don't know 100 pounds bigger than you or whatever. So no, you definitely have like a very well rounded base of like martial arts.
Thank you. Like. I try to move like I'm a little mini ninja.
Yeah,
like always moving around and stuff right? like that. That's how I like to describe my style and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Like it's because movement is like the root of it, right? Like that's like people go into this like people get that's a whole different like whatever rabbit hole that you can get into of like just moving your body in various ways and this quote unquote biomechanics community and shit like that. Like I'm in like a group chat that like kind of shits on biomechanics stuff. So it's like, it's kind of interesting, but people are like enthusiasts of it still. So it's like a, movement is like a fundamental like thing that we do, but yeah. we kind of like codify it into these like martial arts and or in like systems of movement. And like, this is step one, step two, step three.
So I've actually done like a lot of readings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
On just like how like the human body movement is works and stuff like that. Like yeah. it's way easier to teach a child jujitsu
sure.
than an adult. Right. Just because like adults, you have to think about like, we're so used to sitting at a desk all upright all day and right. stuff like that.
Yeah.
Teach a baby how to shrimp, and they're closer to knowing how to shrimp than we are as adults mm-hmm. because they were just in diapers or are already in diapers and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
I really do feel like the natural movement that children have yeah. can be applied to our everyday grappling and stuff. Mm,
yeah, definitely. Because it feels like, yeah, they don't have to unlearn things. They're, yeah. They're just learning things
they're
for the first time.
They're just building on top of it, what they yeah. already know.
That's cool. So I guess that's a natural progression into like, kind of the other part of this is like, what do you do as a day job? Like what how do you fund this grappling? And
so I do two different things. I'm a lifeguard at Caesar's Palace right now.
Okay.
And when I'm not lifeguarding or training or just at home, I also do personal training.
Okay, gotcha.
I actually have a grappler that he's gonna end up getting into fighting when he's older.
Yeah.
But I do his strength and conditioning.
Awesome.
And then I hold like mitts for people out of their garages and
sweet.
Just stuff like that. When I first moved out here, I worked at the UFC Fit.
Uh-huh.
So I really got deep into like personal training and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah. So I mean, obviously you know your way around like training people, helping them get better, more fit, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So that makes sense that like that pairs well with like what yeah. you're trying to do. Like you move your body all day and then you're helping other people move yeah. their bodies. Right.
That's just cool. Helping people move in more of like a functional way so that they yeah. don't feel as stiff and stuff like that.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. And like help them get healthier. Right? Yeah. That's the big thing is like people don't like train for performance. They train to like not die yeah, yeah, after a certain point. Right. cool. So do you see any like crossover between like your MMA training, jiu-jitsu training, and like training like just general population people?
Yes and no. So yeah. whenever I'm working with clients, I always like break it down. Like I bring out a blank sheet of paper and I say yeah. like, hey, what exactly do you want me to teach you?
Yeah.
Because I don't want us to get 3-4 weeks ahead from now.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be like, hey, I really wanted to learn this. Well, why didn't you say that? Like,
sure.
This is personal training. My job as a personal trainer is to design it personalized for you. So I have like some clients. So one of my clients, he just wants to learn more technique, but he never wants to compete.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going through like a little strength phase right now and sure. stuff like that. So gotcha. His training program is going to be different than the other guy who's a fighter under me and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I know I have to push his body a lot more with the strength and conditioning mm-hmm. and it's like two opposite sides of the spectrum and stuff like that as far
right.
as coaching.
For sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Cause it's a, like it's personal training. Like mm-hmm. you're getting on the same level as the person, like what exactly they want to do
yeah.
rather than like, you don't want to impose goals on them. You want to make sure they're bought in, like that they're going to stick with you for like a long-term plan too.
Exactly.
Right? Like
exactly.
It's not, because yeah, like you don't like get personal training for a month and then,
I've accomplished everything and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah.
I can say in the personal training industry, on average, most people only work with a personal trainer for 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to think about it. After 90 days,
yeah.
I get to see like a little bit of difference and stuff like that.
Right.
And most people don't realize, like, hey, I have to continue to work out in order to continue to see these gains.
Right.
They just stop it altogether. Mm. And they're like, oh, then they come back a couple months later, like, oh, I want to start working again.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And I'm like, we need to get you on consistency,
right.
you know?
So. Exactly. Yeah, and like people need that like accountability,
yeah.
like having somebody like on them about like, mm-hmm. all right, hey, I need meal check-ins or I need like whatever, like scale weights and whatever your program entails. But I guess like yeah, what do you do with your clients in terms of like help keeping them accountable or training them or whatever?
So I'm more or less like a more laid back down trainer.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
I like sit down and have conversations with him. Yeah. So like a lot of times I have them warm up on the bike because I don't believe in running because it hurts our knees and
sure.
stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
So when they're sitting there biking, I sit there and ask them like, "Hey, what'd you eat today?"
Uh huh.
Yada. I go over like a couple questions. What'd you eat? How are your energy levels? And how were your energy levels when you woke up? Because mm-hmm. a lot of my clients I either work with early in the morning, right before work, uh-huh. or late at night after I'm like done with my trainings and stuff like that. So just seeing their different energy levels like throughout the day is just like I can gear it and see like what we need to cover that day and stuff like that.
Because
if their body's at a 3 and I have planned a 10 out of 10 workout,
right.
I'm not going to get through the 10 out of 10.
Sure.
It makes more sense for me to be like, okay, let's pull it back today. We're going to work a little bit more mobility and more functional movement stuff. And then we'll get back to the strength the next time we work and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like it's a dynamic thing. Like you don't, I mean, same in jiu-jitsu. It's like not every day is a like all out like competition speed training, right? Like if you did that, you probably get injured pretty frequently, right? So, there's an element of like periodization where it's like there's some days you go harder, but then you kind of have to recover, but still do something like on other days.
The way I like to split it up, I know some people like going 2 to 3 hard days out of the week. That's how I prefer to do it.
Yeah.
And I just listen to my body. If I get up and I'm like, yo, my body's hurting.
Yeah.
Stay in, I sleep in a little bit, and then I just go to work that day.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to my body a lot because in the past when I haven't listened to my body, that's when I've seen injuries and your health can decline all just sorts of stuff like that. Like once you learn how to listen to your body, like you'll realize like, oh, that's why I feel like this, or this is why I have a taste for this, or just listening to it. Like sometimes our bodies naturally crave citrus because we need a lot of the electrolytes and stuff like that is found in citrus.
I see. Gotcha. So. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Like I burn the candle at both ends. Like I tend, like I get up at 6 a.m. and train then. And then like if I'm busy at work or whatever, I go to bed late, or if I'm like training for a competition, I'm like, oh, maybe I should go to the night class or something like that. And like, I end up like running my body down, and like I get up some days and like, fuck, I want to train today, but like I feel like I got ran over by a truck. So
this is how I always explain to everybody: the number one thing you could do for recovery is sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Number one thing.
Definitely.
Number two is it matters what you're putting into your body, and then I always say number three is tricks and stuff like that, such as ice baths, saunas, maybe you have like a hydro massage or whatever, like. Fits your body type and what makes you feel the best and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's definitely what I've found with like I just don't sleep enough. Is like that's when I know I'm run down and I'm like liable to get sick. Like I usually get sick around like competition time because I'm like pushing my body. I'm not recovering enough.
Do you cut any weight for your competitions at all?
Not a ton. I like usually say. Like this last competition I did, the ADCC Open, I didn't cut any weight. I was just getting in shape and but I still got sick like the week prior. So I think there's something to like maybe just the mental like stress of like knowing it's around the corner and like me like just working everything a little bit harder. Maybe that like contributes to it. But I also take like Athletic Greens as like just, I don't know, just a base amount of like nutrients to like sick as much.
You have all the like the vitamins and minerals in your system.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
it's like a multivitamin. I treat it like a multivitamin where it's like, okay, at least I get this in. Even though my diet's not terribly great. I'm a heavyweight, so it's like it's like I have a sweet tooth and whatever. I love carbs, so it's probably that's an aspect that I could probably improve as well. So like sounds like according to your checklist, if I don't sleep great, if I'm not eating well, and my trick is taking Athletic Greens, then I'm like failing. Like I'm not doing well 2 hours.
I feel like you're still a step closer because you know like when your body needs sleep and stuff like that.
Right.
So I feel like you're still a step closer and stuff like that.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I mean it's like you're stuck with your own body 24 hours a day. So like you tend to like. At least I'm like in tune with it and I can kind of understand like, when I need sleep or whatever. Yeah. So like actually Tuesday, like I was up late Monday night and then I wake up, I'm like, fuck, like I can't go to 6 a.m. Tuesday. I'm just going to sleep in. So I slept in, and I probably avoided like pushing through and getting sick or whatever, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, sometimes you have to call it for yourself.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've seen like a lot of, especially in grapplers, like they're so used to going like 5-6 days a week, like after every class, after every class.
Yeah,
and then they'll be like, oh well, my body feels really worn down Tuesday night.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take an ice bath Wednesday. Not even thinking about sleep. I'm just gonna take an ice bath, sauna, and I should be good for the next day.
Uh-huh.
But they still hit all the same workouts.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time like Thursday and Friday hit, you see like a lot of fighters and grapplers, like their bodies are worn down from the week, and that's why you see a lot of people like they take that Saturday or Friday off. I've noticed that out here just because of the open mat on Sunday.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, but back home, like they take a Saturday and Sunday off and stuff like that.
Okay, gotcha. Where are you from?
Exactly? Victorville, California.
Victorville, California. Okay, cool. Gotcha.
Not too far, but
yeah, right.
Pretty far at the same time.
Yeah, it feels like a different country. Almost, yeah. Right? Cool. So yeah, that does make sense, because yeah, everybody comes out Sunday, like mm-hmm. guns blazing, open mat. It just feels like, I don't know, like
yeah, that open mat is absolutely amazing though.
Right.
Like
yeah,
it makes me feel like being in Vegas right now while being a fighter is like those give me like the vibes like I'm where I'm supposed to be right now.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like that, when you stop and look at everybody that's in that room, you're right.
Yeah, there's like real UFC fighters in here, and we train with them like
mm-hmm.
consistent. Like it's so weird to like think that we train with actual pro fighters, and that's just a normal thing to us now.
Yeah,
it's like oh yeah, there's that guy and that guy, and oh yeah, of course he's here. But
yeah, like in a lot of times, like they're all chill, cool. They'll answer questions that you have for them, and
definitely
everything. I think that part's absolutely cool.
Right. Because I'm sure that's like super helpful for up and coming fighters such as yourself.
One guy that goes to the gym that I've been picking his mind a lot is Marab, the number 3 guy at 135 right now.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah, I'll sit there and just pick his mind wrestling wise. I was at 11 o'clock practice yesterday, and I was like, "How do you do this? How do you do this?" Yeah. And then like we'll go back and forth. He'd be like, "Am I tight here? Or what about here?"
Uh-huh.
We'll just go back and forth, and I absolutely love it because he's one of the smaller guys mm-hmm. that like. Well, like, I like how he breaks it down and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but when it comes to, like, wrestlers and grapplers and stuff like that, I've always gravitated more towards picking their minds than, like, the strikers and stuff. Just because mm-hmm. I absolutely love how the human body moves. And you'll be surprised, like, how wrestling techniques differ from, like, country to country or state to state and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Right. Like, it's, there's styles that develop.
Because
it's sort of, like, somewhat insular, right? It's how I don't know, like California has a wrestling style versus Oklahoma versus whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like as far as I know, I don't know all that much about like at the high levels of wrestling, but I wrestled in high school, and like that's why I know CIF was state. Mm-hmm. And like how far did you get in the state tournament?
So my senior year, I was alternate for masters because I ended up hurting both of my knees the second day of CIF.
Damn.
So I was sitting there at masters and I was like, please get in, please get in, please get in.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't end up getting in. It was probably a good thing because I had both knee braces on both my knees, and I was just gonna pull up a sleeve, right, take ibuprofen. Like, listen, this is your senior year, you're meant to wrestle. Like, let's just do it.
Because
my sophomore and junior year, I didn't get to wrestle two months just because of certain circumstances that happened between like teammates and coaches. So in between junior and senior year, I switched high schools and found a team that worked for me more.
Yeah.
And once I got there, I just absolutely excelled and stuff like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's dope. I have a similar story. Like, I broke my hand senior year of wrestling, and like it was my second match of senior year. I was like, I posted on the mat with a fist. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I got that from. I have no idea what, like, I've like beaten it out of me. And so I always post it with my palm right now. Or whatever, ever since then. But for whatever reason, felt like it was a good idea to post with my fist on the mat, broke my hand, and then still finished the match, still won. But I was up on points, but I was like, yeah, I'm not going to, like, I don't know. I don't know if I was in shock or something like that. It didn't really hurt. It just felt like...
Yeah.
Or it was just
Did you
like
hear, like, a snap or, like, a crack during the moment, or...?
I'm not maybe. But, yeah, they were, like... The athletic trainer was like moving around, like the one piece, and then moving around in my hand. I was like, there, but I wasn't in like a crazy amount of pain, so they're like, oh, it might be a sprain or something. But yeah, X-ray was like, oh yeah, your shit's fucked. Like you're done.
It's <That's> broken.
Yeah, it's broken. So yeah, unfortunately, yeah, could only wrestle two matches my senior year, and that kind of got me into jiu-jitsu. I was like, oh, I want to grapple more, mm-hmm. but like there is no like adult wrestling. Right,
that's
like,
true. That's
there's
true.
There's a very few like adult wrestling clubs mm-hmm. out there.
They do have I think they have two out here. One that I do recommend is Gold Rush.
Oh yeah, it's definitely Chase Pammy.
Yeah, he goes to Tin Plan and stuff. His yep. I like his wrestling.
I did his first adult class like that. It was at like 5 a.m. like Tuesdays and shit like that. That's also where like I got sick a lot because mm-hmm. it was just it messed my schedule up. But his adult program's grown a ton. Like it's now it's Monday nights, I believe.
Yeah, Monday nights at 8:15.
Yeah, so a little bit late for me, but for most people in Vegas, like that's normal. Yeah.
I like feel like so. It took me a while, like when I first moved out here, because I've only been out here since last November.
Uh-huh.
Like the time feels like it works differently out here.
Sure.
Yeah, just because of like everybody's up at night.
Yeah.
And like the city keeps on going, like everything right. keeps going. So like back home, everything like shuts down, like at like 10 or 11, and it's definitely. Like okay, everybody's gonna go home. Uh-huh. Out here, everything's open.
Yep, 24/7.
Everything's open 24/7.
Yep, yeah, it's crazy because it's you get used to it. Like mm-hmm. you just kind of expect everything. Like oh yeah, like we can go to whatever this. Some restaurant down the street and they're going to be open. You just kind of expect it. But like, yeah, when I go back, I'm from the Bay Area. So it's like, when I go back there, it's like, yeah, streets roll up at 9. It's like, you gotta, whatever, go out and do your shit and party or whatever. Like the bars are open till 2 or whatever. But like the fact that bars close is mm-hmm. crazy too. Yeah, like elsewhere. Like once you're here, it's like, oh yeah, wait, we're not out till whatever, 3, 4, like, or whatever, like, bars aren't 24/7 everywhere. It's just a weird, like, yeah, Vegas time warp thing.
Yeah.
Where your expectations for time change a little bit because that's the culture here. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess any other differences you see, like, between your hometown and Vegas?
So I'm under 10th Planet, but I'm also under Team Syndicate out here.
Okay, cool.
And I absolutely love it there. I've been picking people's minds there too. I've noticed like the different bigger MMA teams, like they mm-hmm. almost, they're a lot more family oriented than I thought it would be. Like honestly, I thought it was more or less going to be like a fight team. Like, oh, everybody comes in, gets to work in, nobody really talks to each other. The first couple times I went to pro class and sparred and stuff, like, I was nervous.
Sure.
Yeah, I was really nervous. I was walking around, I was like, okay, like, get your body loose. Like, right. After a couple times, I was like, okay, Rashad, you're feeling more comfortable. We're getting you scheduled together. Now let's get to work. But even now, like, I've been out here almost a year, and I've had to get a schedule, reset it, and then get a schedule again, mm-hmm. and then get a schedule. I think I finally found a schedule that's going to work for me for a little bit, and mm-hmm. I'm excited just because I'll get to train more with the schedule and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, that's huge, is like having, being able to hit, certain class times, and mm-hmm. like, because that's, I mean, that's why I train at 6 a.m. is like, it's open every day for me. It's like my work starts at 9. So it's like, okay, I've got the first chunk of my day. Mm-hmm. I can just get my training in. And
That's exactly how I was thinking about it, because they have that 6 a.m. class, and I have to be at work by 8:30. So if I leave there by 8, I'm like, okay. A lot of times afterwards, like, Jordan won the roll afterwards, I'm like, let's roll.
Right.
Like, I'm down, like, let's roll. Like, I'm always down for extra work and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like, cool. I feel like I only have, as a kid, as I was training, like, I felt like I had all the time in the world. I could go to all the classes.
Mm.
All I really had to do was homework and a couple chores.
Right.
Now that I have to work and make sure bills are paid and everything else, I'm like, okay, I need to make sure everything is done. And I only have, like, under five hours of training per day.
Yeah. Well, if you're a professional fighter, like, that's like your work day.
Yeah. So cool. I'm trying to hit 2 in the morning and then 1.5 to 2 in the afternoon.
Okay.
That way everything's stretched out. I'll be able to not push my body so much in the morning or push it so much in the afternoon.
Sure.
And stuff like that.
That's dope. So what's like, what all is in your training regimen?
So get up at 5, eat. A lot of times before grappling and stuff, I don't really eat anything too heavy unless it's like yogurt, granola, or like a piece of fruit.
Yeah.
A lot of times I'll just do coffee or a lemon squeeze and 8 ounces of water that's room temperature.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it really alkalines the body and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I just feel like I feel more energized and stuff.
Interesting. So, so the room temperature water, is that just so, because your body is like warmer, so it doesn't have to like warm the water?
Joe's the one that told me about like the room temperature water.
Yeah.
And I even tried it with cold water a couple times. It, for me, it goes down smoother with the room temperature water. And I'm not a big fan of drinking or like chugging cold water.
I see.
But even like, you've probably seen me like carry around like my giant gallon water bottle that I always have. I always have room temperature water in there.
Gotcha. Like, interesting.
Even when I was working outside, like I drink like maybe like 1-2 cups of ice water just to cool down.
Sure.
And then, or I'll hop in the pool at work.
Right.
But even then, like I'm still drinking like room temperature water and stuff like that.
I mean, as you're drinking room temperature. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Cause some people, it's just a preference, but it sounds like that there's like kind of a little bit of like reasoning in terms of like helping your body perform as well as possible. That's cool.
I'm all about performance, getting my performance higher, right. Seeing what I can do. I even did like little, when I wasn't competing as much, over this past year, I did like random tests. Like, okay, I'm going to eat this and see how my body performs.
Oh, that's dope.
I'm going to eat this and I'm going to do a strength and conditioning. And I want to see what can I eat to make my body feel the best?
That's good.
Because like when you ask like all different fighters, they all eat something different after weigh-ins and stuff like that.
Sure.
Because they all have a different like weigh-in regimen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going to find something that works out for me. So when it's my time to go,
I'm
going to have a list. I just need to go to the store, get this list. Mm-hmm. Good.
You just have it all dialed in.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. And that's cool to like run experiments on your own body.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. Like there isn't like one prescription that one size fits all thing.
True, true, true. Plus naturally, like some of our bodies have more like explosive muscle fibers, more slow twitch, more fast twitch. Mm-hmm. It just depends on like your genetics and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. That makes sense. So what does, where do you fit in? Like, I mean, you're doing striking, you're doing wrestling, you're doing jiu-jitsu, like all sorts of different things. Like what, is there something that you're focusing on improving or like?
When I first came out here, I was focusing more on striking.
Uh-huh.
Now that I have like a more like balanced schedule and stuff like that,
uh-huh.
I just want to hit it all hard.
Cool.
I feel like before, like when this year first started, I was kind of like, I always look at my dreams as like an ice block.
Mm.
And then underneath the ice block, there's this diamond.
Yeah.
Well, in order for me to get to the ice block, like I have to make sure like I don't crack the diamond, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like I feel like I was using like a little pickaxe and like a little nail, like just chiseling slowly but surely, making little drawings here and there, like taking my time.
Sure.
Now I feel like I'm taking a sledgehammer and just going in on it, just like hit after hit. And I'm like, I'm gonna get to that diamond. I don't know when I'm gonna get to that diamond,
right.
But I'm gonna get to that diamond.
That's dope. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Like visual, like very, visual way to picture is like because you're. Like MMA, you have to do so many things, right? Because it's like that's, I don't know, as a grappler, like I only compete in grappling. So it's like I don't have to worry about striking or worry about like the different types of striking, even like that. There's a variety within that.
Yeah,
too.
Because there's like Muay Thai, there's boxing, even have a couple more people coming out doing, I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but capoeira.
Capoeira. Gotcha.
And they're flexible, like the way that they move and stuff like that. And then you have like the old school, like Taekwondo stance where their body's bladed.
Right.
But I feel like the best way to strike is you're mixing it all together.
Yeah.
My philosophy has always been like, I feel like if I'm very well rounded, then nobody's going to ever look at like some of my fight tape and be like, okay, we got him right here.
Yeah.
I want another fighter in the 125 weight class to look up some of my fights and be like,
yikes. This guy.
Why you give me this fight?
Like, right. Yeah.
We need to come up with something.
Right. Yeah. Cause it's like, it's mixed martial arts. It's, you have to be good everywhere. So that's dope to, have that confidence in, being able to like confidence in your skill set to say, hey, look, like I'm going to be a problem everywhere to everyone. That's dope. I guess do you still pull from like your original martial arts? I forget what the Jeet Kune Do or whatever?
Yes, a little bit. So yeah. We did more doing mitts, like more basic striking, keeping your hands up. It was more self-defense. Honestly, when I was doing Jeet Kune Do, I had no idea I wanted to fight. So I only realized I wanted to fight because after a little bit of being at Cobra Kai, I think I was only there for like 2-3 weeks, I see one of the fighters doing mitts in the cage. He was just going, he's like, pop, pop, pop. He's moving, pop, pop. And he's moving. I'm sitting here, and I hadn't done mitts in like over a year because I had taken a break to like do basketball and wanted to like see if like I was good at it.
Sure.
I ended up putting my hand on the door during tryouts day.
Yeah.
And didn't even go inside. I had my mom drive me straight to Cobra Kai. I was like, Mama. And she was like, I know. And I was like, well.
Yeah.
So scary. Yeah. I remember seeing, after seeing that guy do the mitts, I was like, yo.
That looks dope. Yeah.
This is what I'm meant to do. I just found it in my heart. I was like, I'm meant to fight. I knew that at that moment.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing Joe later on that day. He had hosted a, not hosted, but it was an MMA practice.
Uh-huh.
And I remember seeing everybody in the room like it was yesterday. I remember Aaron Williams was in there. Mm-hmm. He had Juan Archuleta. Him, he had a guy named Jason Walraven, Jason Glaza, Jamal Pogues, and there was a couple other fighters in there that I don't remember the names, but I remember him yelling, hey, we're all doing ground and pound. He's like, Rashad, get your gloves on, we're doing ground and pound. And I remember just hearing him say, up, down, go, go, finish him, finish him. So, like, whenever I think about, like, when me starting MMA, I always, like, picture that day of, like, hearing Joe's voice yelling us to go harder and harder. Yeah. I remember my first MMA class when we were doing ground and pound, I was like, oh, my body hurts. I've already done, like, 2-3 hours of jiu-jitsu.
Because
I had already done, like, kids class. I had been there since 4, and the MMA class started at 8 or 7, one of the two. But I had been there, like, a long time. I wasn't grappling the whole time. But
sure.
The first, like, 2-2.5 hours, I was just helping out with the kids class.
Yeah.
My homework was already done, so I would just hang out at the gym all day. I'm like, ooh, I want to learn more grappling.
Yeah, that's dope.
So, but after seeing that class, I just fell in love with it, and I was like, yo, I'm for sure. This is what I'm meant to do.
That's awesome. That's great to, like, find that, like, at such a young age, right?
Yeah.
It was, like, what, high school or something?
Well, I was, at that point, I was 12.
12? Holy shit.
Yeah, I was 12. I remember being 13, 14. And, like, being in middle school, they're like, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I want to fight.
Wow.
And, that's, you know, like, I've always had, like, different mixed reactions. Like, some people are like, you do that. And other people are like,
what?
You look like you're barely 100 pounds. Like, me being a freshman, like, barely 100 pounds. They're like, you sure you want to fight? I'm like,
Yep.
I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to have my big name and, like, the shining lights and the UFC banner. And I just want it all. Like, just always said, like, I'm going to fight on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
And I'm going to win that belt.
That's awesome. How old are you now?
20.
20. Oh, okay. All right. So you got, I mean, you've been at this for 8 years. That's wild. So
I'm picking at it.
you're doing great for 20. Like, have several fights under your belt, all, like, a number by submissions. And it's like winning in impressive ways is, like, the big thing to, like, get your name out there is to, like, be exciting.
Yeah.
It seems like you're hunting for the finish, and that's always exciting.
I've always tried, whenever I'm fighting and stuff, it didn't happen my first fight, but it was the second fight I had in Rome. I felt like the crowd, and I just felt like it empowered.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, half of the crowd was like, yay, like, you had Team USA, and then you had, it was the first fight, because it was Ireland, I remember now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing boo, and then they started doing, like, their, they had, like, some type of chant.
Yeah.
And I remember I got more hyped up from their chant than all of Team USA, because I was like, yo, I'm going to win.
Right?
I'm going to chase that submission, or chase that win, or I'm going to figure out some way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, Irish, they're hard people, and their chants, I'm sure, like, come from a long lineage of, like, fighting.
So I remember my first fight in Rome, which is against this guy named Brandon Brentshaw.
I
remember names of everybody that I fought. It's weird.
That's awesome.
Remember names. I won't remember the time or the date, but I remember the name.
Uh-huh.
So if I hear a name, I'm like, I fought that dude.
Right. Dang. All right.
Even in jiu-jitsu tournament, wrestling tournaments, if I see the name, I'm like,
that's
I know
a lot.
I'm
that's get, a lot of people.
It's,
like,
it's
in
weird.
Those tournaments.
I don't know why, but I just always recognize names. But I remember hearing my name over the intercom. They're like, Rashad from Team USA, please report to Cage 2. And I'm like, I'm fighting right now.
Right.
Like, I didn't know I was fighting. So, like, I have to rush to the back, get all my gear on. Uh-huh. And once I get all my gear on, like, I'm sitting here, like, trying to roll out my shoulders to the cage.
Yeah.
And I get into the cage, and I see him, and I'm like, okay, like, that's the one dude I didn't want to go up against. Because I remember seeing, like, the list. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, like, he has, like, 3 or 4, like, actual amateur fights.
Okay.
And I'm like, yo, like, this is just pancreation. He going to hit me.
Right.
And I remember I got in there, and something just snapped in my head, like, hey, you work for this.
Yeah.
You good. But as I'm walking into the cage, I remember hearing, like, it's about time you got here. And I was like,
oh.
I didn't know I was up.
Is it right? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, we touch hands, we go, end up finishing him with a straight ankle in the first round.
Oh, okay.
And then I was like, hey, man, like, how's your ankle? Like, trying to be better. He's supposed to be like, yeah. Straight up looked at me and was like, oh, no English. No English.
No English.
Like, come on. You speak English.
Right.
Like, come on now.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
It's a part of the sport. It happens, yeah, you know.
For sure.
In a perfect world, to me, everybody who does jiu-jitsu can, and no matter what team we're under, if you do jiu-jitsu, we're all automatically, like, under, like, the same, like, I don't want to say master, but we're under the same martial art. To me, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, no matter what it is, it's considered to be a martial art.
Yeah.
Except when it comes to MMA. MMA, I feel like it's us versus you.
It's a fight.
It's a fight.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a fight. Same thing with boxing. It's a fight at the end of the day.
Yeah. Like, you are hurting somebody. Like, you're inflicting brain damage on another person.
But anything that's, like, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, I would even say, like, even, like, some of, like, the older school arts, like, Kempo, Taekwondo, stuff like that. It's like, hey, like, we're all studying the same thing. We're here, and we're both, like, martial artists. Let's both break down a move and see how we hit it differently.
Yeah.
Maybe you know some little technique that makes, once you say it, I'm like, yo, I wonder why I'm doing this, and this, and that position.
Mm-hmm. It's so, more collaborative
that way. Yeah. So I feel like when we're on a more collaborative level, we all reach to a higher level.
Definitely.
Together
yeah.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
That whole thing. Yeah, that's interesting, because I've heard similar things where, like, yeah, jiu-jitsu grappling is, like, more, like, family. I don't know, we're just hugging each other the whole time. Like, it's more friendly or whatever. But striking gyms is, I don't know, a little bit, like, testy, maybe.
Yeah, the
like,
culture is different.
Uh-huh.
The culture is different. I remember, back home, I used to go to this gym out in Mova. I forgot the name, but it was, like, a boxing gym. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, like, yo, I just want to get some rounds in. I remember I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at the little kids go at it there, boxing. I'm like, yo, let me, I'm a, oh, they are hitting hard. And it's like, these kids are like 12. And I'm like 19 at the time.
Oh, shit.
And I'm sitting there like, I need
this kind of gym. Yeah.
Let me go drink some water, breathe.
Right.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, right.
But it's weird. Those type of experiences make you better so much, too, just as much as collaborating.
Mm.
But everything has to be in balance. Like, you can't just always go balls to the wall, balls to the wall, balls to the wall.
Sure.
And you can't always be collaborative.
Sure.
So I feel like there's a good, clean balance somewhere in there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like you have to test your technique. You have to test your mental fortitude of like, okay, I'm going to go in here and it's going to be a fucking competition. Even though it's like practice, it's somebody's out there trying to like take your spot or whatever, right? Like somebody in that room thinks they're better than you, who may not be better than you, but they're still going to try to best you that day or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right. There's times to like, compete. And then there's times to just like hang out and whatever, just chill and try to work, build each other up versus trying to, I don't know, the opposite isn't tearing each other down because you're still making each other better.
Yeah.
Iron sharpening iron kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, you mentioned that these are two different approaches that you need to, both are needed in developing as a fighter or grappler or whatever.
Yeah. You mentioned you did the ADCC Open. Do you have anything else coming up and stuff like that? Or
yeah, I've got the EBI 10 Planet Qualifier in 2 weeks. October 2nd. So that's like going to be in downtown LA, 10th Planet HQ. They have these qualifiers to get into like the main event.
I didn't even know about that tournament. What, do they have all weight classes? Or?
No, it's just they only do it like per show. So this is going to be the absolutes show. So like just the big guys. So they have it like per weight class. So like in previous, whatever events they've had, the 145, the welterweights, the middleweights, whatever. Now it's the heavyweights, the absolute division. So just like open weight class.
I've been getting more into like the EBI and like ADCC rules and stuff like that. Actually getting ready for a EBI tournament under submission on the shore.
Oh, nice.
For on October 22nd in Sacramento.
Sweet.
Been getting ready for that one. So just been trying to push the grappling just a little bit more.
Nice.
While still keeping up with my striking and stuff. Yeah, but
definitely.
I want to see how I do against like these top level dudes.
Right.
That are like brown and black belts. Like I want to see like, I want to see how far I can push them and I want to see how far they can push me.
Definitely.
Like let's see what happens.
Exactly. That's a good attitude to have about it. It's like, yeah, like purple belt is like the, I don't know, the fuck around and find out belt.
Yeah.
Where it's like you feel like you know enough to like be dangerous to everyone, but at the same time, like you don't, maybe you don't have the polish as much as the whatever. Older, saltier belts.
So it's like some days I'm like, okay, like I'm spot on, I'm good. And then other days I go against this grapple the same guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just feel like 3 seconds short today. Like,
right.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is my timing that so far off? And then other days, my timing just clicks and I'm like, okay, yes, today's a good day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that it's, it's a weird spot to be a purple belt. So, I felt that in terms of I did the West Coast trials for ADCC when they were in town, and I went up against some good dudes, like all. But I finagled my way through like 3 matches. I won by 1 by submission, 2 by points, and the fourth match, the second day was against Elder Cruz. Elder Cruz, you may know, he was in the actual ADCC this last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, like this is a big name. Like I was bound to run into a big name at this tournament if I went far enough. So it didn't help that I got sick that like the Saturday night going into Sunday. Mm-hmm. I didn't get great sleep, and I eventually the next week I figured out I had hand, foot, and mouth disease. It's like a little kid disease, but I just never got it.
I was thinking like your mouth and your feet are on fire.
It was like you get like sores on your hand, feet, and mouth. And
gotcha.
It's kind of like, I don't know, just one of those childhood diseases that everyone gets and then you're immune to it. I guess I never got it when I was a child.
Kind of like a chicken pox.
Kind of like chicken pox, yeah. But yeah, of course, somebody brought it with them to the tournament. Nobody's missing trials. And, so like, I felt like shit, like, I don't know, the morning of, cause I slept terribly cause I was just like sweating. I was feverish. And then I was like, of course I'm not going to miss my big match with Elder Cruz. Yeah, like the next,
I wouldn't either.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, I'm going to like feel good enough to, like will myself to this match. And eventually, like when I got there, got warmed up, I felt good enough. Mm-hmm. I felt good enough to go. And I maybe made some like tactical errors and things like that, but like I lost 3-0. So like he just took my back, and then.
Do you feel like it was a big gap though, or do you feel like you're like?
It was frighteningly like within reach, which is weird. Like it wasn't. Yeah, he like controlled me and like prevented me from like scoring any points or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he only scored 3 points on me. Like he didn't.
It's a different thing losing a match like 14-0 or submitted in 30 seconds.
Exactly. Like yeah. So it was weirdly within reach. And that's kind of the, I don't know, it's whatever, striking distance. Like you can just barely, whatever. I don't know anything about striking, but like the term striking distance is like, okay, you can barely touch the guy, but you could still touch him.
Like, well, I've always heard it as like the saying, like, you ever been climbing a ladder? Imagine you're climbing a ladder underwater, and then once you get to the top, it's a frozen lake. You're sitting there scratching the surface.
Yeah.
But like you see some guys like around you, like they're punching through the ice.
Sure.
And now like you're sitting there just scratching, and you're like, but everybody else is punching through.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna punch through eventually.
Yeah.
You know? So
exactly.
I feel like that describes jiu-jitsu a lot, just because. Yeah. Everybody's like sink or swim in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So
sure. Yeah. So I don't know how we got into that. But yeah, basically like you're going against the top guys, like there's plenty of opportunities to do that. And like ADCC is a great one because there's no, yeah, there's no, like everyone can do the trials. Anybody can sign up.
I feel like ADCC should add one more weight class though for the males. A small guy weight class.
So minus 66 is what, 145?
Yeah,
right?
145.
Okay.
But you, I don't know. I feel like they should have a 57 kg.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Because my weight's 56. Right. Yeah. That's the
only
reason why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure like the smaller you get, the more action there is, right?
Yeah.
Because you guys.
It's more flying stuff too.
Sure.
It's.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I'm sure. No, I think that's. You heard it here first. Humans of grappling. Yeah, because that. I mean, that's the entertaining stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is to. The exciting part about grappling is the dynamic movement, the the up and down, the sprawl, the shot, the throws, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love throws.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a lot of Greco all throughout high school and stuff like that, and just working off the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Working off the cage. I learned a lot of Greco.
That's awesome.
And I also got to work under Dan Henderson for a little bit.
Oh, shit.
So back home, I would cross-train between Cobra Kai and Dan Henderson's Athletic Fitness Center.
Oh, dang.
And I would just bounce in between the two. The only thing is, Dan Henderson's Athletic Fitness Center is in Temecula, which is like two hours away from Victorville.
Wow.
So I was taking that commute maybe once, maybe twice a week sometimes.
Oh, dang.
And I'm like,
that's,
it's a long commute.
Right, yeah, I'm sure, yeah. That's that's, I mean, barring gas, like whatever, that's just a lot of time that you could also be training or doing something else, right?
What I can say is, like, those long drives, like, especially after training, like, just sitting down in the car and you're sitting there, like, windows rolled down, music, whether you got your butt kicked or not, you're like, okay, you're able to, like, sit there and visualize practice over again. You're like, okay, I got caught by this because of this.
Mm-hmm.
I got foot swept here because of this.
Yeah.
You have that time. I feel like sometimes, like, we're all going so fast. Like, okay, I need to practice here. I need to eat by this time. I need to do this. That we like don't sit and be like, okay, where did I mess up during this practice?
Sure.
That way we're always able to improve after every practice.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a huge part of what was missing from a lot of fighters, like time, is like the mental aspect of like film study or reviewing like what you did. Like I take this camera and I. But leading up to trials, I would film all my practice rolls, and then I would review it when I get home, and just kind of find what worked during that practice, what didn't, and I kind of like that was an extra training session for me. Like that was an extra set of rolls that I didn't have to actually do, but I got like basically just as much benefit from it.
You mentioned tape. Is there a specific grappler or fighter that you like watching the most?
Myself. I mean, that sounds like, I don't know, that's a weird, I don't know, weirdly boasting thing to say, but at the same time,
what you're saying, though.
But it's like you learn the most because you're already doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Like you see what you're doing, and it's like looking at yourself from a objective third party lens. So it's like, okay, is what I'm doing at this second right? At this second right? Like I kind of see. I can make adjustments right there versus, I don't know, watching a DVD or whatever and having to like, okay, where does this fit into my game? Whereas I can just already like observe my game as it is. And then I can say, okay, what if I did this here instead of that? And now I'm like I'm analyzing my game as it is and then making like tiny adjustments to it already.
Gotcha.
Versus adding a completely new system or completely different things. Even though like those probably have their place and I probably should like actually watch instructionals from time to time. But I don't know. They're just kind of boring to me. Like there's a kind of vain thing about watching yourself.
I don't watch too much of instructionals, but I'll watch like fighters and like grapplers.
I see.
But I always like recommend like watching a fighter slash grappler to make yourself better,
yeah,
you should probably have some type of body to build that's similar to yours.
Sure.
Like, what do I look like trying to copy Francis Ngannou's
move? Right.
I don't hit like a giant. They say that he hits like a Ford Escort.
Oh.
I don't hit like a Ford Escort. This isn't going to make any sense.
Right.
But me copying somebody like Adesanya's long, he's lanky.
Yeah.
He's able to use his reach, uses a lot of fade, circle around to the outside.
Sure.
Or someone on the ground like Charles Oliveira.
Yeah.
That's just able to wrap everybody up like a little boa constrictor in every position.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's good to, like, set your sights on, like, what you want to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the fighters that you model yourself after?
Recently, I've been watching a lot of Adesanya, Charles Oliveira. As far as small guys, I've always liked DJ.
Okay. Demetrius
Johnson.
Yeah.
I cried when they UFC got rid of him. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I don't even watch this.
Yeah.
Why? Because Demetrius is the first guy I've seen that made me not want to strike like heavyweight.
Okay.
For some reason, my natural striking ability, I want to strike like heavyweight. I want to sit there and I want to swing.
It
makes no sense.
Mm.
After seeing DJ, I'm like, oh, he moves his feet.
Yeah.
And seeing Dominic Cruz. I watch Dominic Cruz a lot, too.
Okay.
If you ever see me wrestle, you'll notice I move my feet like him.
Mm.
I found a little instructional video during COVID, and I started moving my feet, and it made my wrestling so much better because I would just sit there in the same position. Like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to go for a throw because I know I can.
Yeah.
Instead, now I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, I'm going to set up traps.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as I started thinking about that, I started looking at how Demetrius sets up traps.
Mm.
And then during COVID, all there was to do was grapple.
Yeah.
So we would like grapple in garages and stuff like that. Everybody has mats.
Right.
So we'd be like, okay, we're going to so-and-so's house, which by COVID guidelines is terrible.
Of course.
But
grappling is like the worst possible thing
but
that you could be doing.
When you need some type of, to me, I feel like grappling and any type of martial art, like, it keeps me like leveled.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And COVID just had me going everywhere. I'm like, yo, there's nothing to do. I want to grapple.
Right.
I'll just sit there and watch matches for hours.
Uh huh.
So.
Yeah. No, and that's a interesting, like, we got a little experiment of like, all right, how do grapplers react with no grappling?
They go crazy. That's what it is.
Exactly. Because it's like when I, even yesterday, like when I didn't go in the morning, the rest of my day was a little bit shittier. Like I needed my rest, I needed to sleep in. I didn't train until night. And then I don't know. I was just in like.
I get you. Like, I feel like overall my day is just better when I grapple in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like stuff that happens at work doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
Because, so being a lifeguard, you not acquire, but you run into a lot of tourists.
Sure.
Tourists are rude.
Sure.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, ladies will just come up yelling about how the pool's closing, and I'm like, I don't set the time.
Yeah, that's not your fault.
And sometimes I'm like, man, like, don't be yelling at me. And then other days where I train, I'm like, miss, I do not make
the right.
So I'm not sure it's because I'm too tired to sit there and argue with people, or I'm just like, you know, I'm good today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I'm leveled today.
Exactly. Yeah. And people, I talk with my friends about, like, most people are running around life at like 7 or 8 out of 10 of like stress level. Any little thing can like set them off.
Yeah.
Versus like if you grapple, say, at 6 a.m. or whatever. Instead of running out at a 7, you're at like a 3 or 4, and you're like, it would have to take something major to like make you like really lose it.
Plus, I feel like one thing that people don't understand that don't grapple, when you're grappling, you literally can't worry about anything else outside of you grappling. You don't care about bills, you don't care about the house, you don't care about kids, the wife, whatever's going on.
Yeah.
When you're grappling, you're just worried about, hey, this dude's trying to break my arm or snap it or trying to put me to sleep. That's all you can worry about.
Yep.
And that's the beauty in grappling, because it takes your mind almost off the world, but you're still doing something healthy for your body.
Exactly.
While doing, like, you're killing so many birds with one stone.
Yeah. No, and I've I made a semi-viral Instagram post about this, is that it hits so many checkboxes. Like, they're so, like, I call it a glitch in the matrix. It's like, it shouldn't exist. Like, there's just so many different, like, positive benefits out of it that it's the single best thing you could be doing. Like, for whatever, people who can do it. Like, if you're physically able to, like, you should. Even though, like, I mean, people aren't, like, a weird one is like physical affection, or not affection, but like just physical touch. It's like we go around, like, I don't know, somebody can like conceivably go from their house to work to whatever, the grocery store, and they don't like touch anybody through the day. I mean,
humans need physical touch in order to thrive and get better and stuff.
Exactly. Like we have like dopamine receptors or whatever pathways in our brain that light up. It's like, oh, the whatever. I saw my friend and I gave him a hug, and it's like there's like a reward system for that.
Yeah.
So it's like grappling. We're just giving each other hugs the whole time.
Yeah. I'd be interested to see what is the average person's dopamine levels while grappling.
Sure. I mean. Mine are off the charts. So it's like, I was like, this is the best thing in the world. Yeah. So, cause it's, it's a game too. It's like, we're fulfilling, like it's a, not just a like primal need where like that's like a base physical need, but also like it's a community thing where it's like, you see the same people every day. You're in community with each other. And that's kind of why I wanted to do this podcast is like, we enjoy each other's company so much where it's like we sit on the mats afterwards, we chat about whatever, and like we see each other every day anyway. So it's like we get to know each other like at a much deeper level than a normal adult like friendship.
True. How do you feel about gi versus no gi?
taking it there. I trained in the gi for 6 years. Well, 6 years exclusively. So I was a gi person starting off jujitsu. And then when I moved out here to Las Vegas, I was like, all right, let me try something completely different. Let me try this 10th Planet bullshit. No gi. Leg locks were becoming popular. Dan Hurd's Death Squad was like on the rise. And I was like, okay, let me figure out this leg lock thing. And what turned out was like, oh, where did my grips go?
Yeah.
it's different.
It's way different.
When you're in the gi, you're like very, like, at least I was very grip dominant. Like, cause you can grab the clothes. So why not? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to like pull on this person and like move them around. But in no gi, it's like, yeah, you have to like be able to, you figure out other ways to grip and it's not via clothes. It's like
it's using the underhooks and overhooks and wrist control.
Yeah. And weird, like you're grabbing their traps or grabbing the tendons behind their knee. Like you're finding all these other like little handholds on the body. So I did train a little bit of gi while I was out here, maybe like a year or two. So it's not like I totally gave up the gi, but since since COVID, basically, I stopped training the gi because I was like, okay, let me just focus on one, like, not cross-contaminate people with, like, because I got COVID once, and I was like, okay, if I went to my gi school, I got it from the no-gi school, and I was like, went to the gi school. If I went to the gi school that day, like, I could have, like, gotten a whole bunch of other people sick. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on no-gi, only, like, interact with those people or whatever, and, yeah, I mean, I haven't really looked back. Like, my fingers feel great now.
Like, I feel like gi and no gi, they both have their perks.
Yeah.
I disagree that gi transfers into normal human society more than no gi does, though.
Mm.
Only because when the gi was originally created, a lot of people were wearing suit jackets, these big jackets and stuff like that.
Sure.
Which makes sense and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if you're doing just for sports jiu-jitsu and you like the gi, gi is 100% cool.
Sure.
But if you want a more self-defense approach, I recommend no gi.
Yeah, definitely.
Because let's say you're a smaller female and you're trying to protect yourself from a bigger person, you want to be able to use underhooks and move around them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like no gi should also teach self-defense, like knowing how to properly take some of your own clothing or their clothing and choke them out with it and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I always look at true like functionalness of jiu-jitsu and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like how it can affect like some small little old lady to someone who's like 6'5", 320 pounds and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's cool. Cause it's ultimately a martial art. It's for fighting. Yeah. Like we can like put points on stuff and, do as much sport as we want, but ultimately, like as Jordan would like say, like this is for fighting. The stakes are like
the coach from this morning.
Yeah, Jordan this morning was like, yeah, his this like martial arts were developed by samurai when they got disarmed or whatever.
I like rolling with Jordan. Jordan makes me feel like a Rubik's Cube and a ninja had a baby. Like, whenever I'm rolling with Jordan, I'll give myself, like, little mental cues. Like, okay, I'm going to try to do this one thing.
Sure.
Because I feel like there's a big skill gap between Jordan and I, but it's not big.
Sure.
So I'm sitting here it's grappling.
Achievable. Yeah.
Yes, it's achievable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not quite scratching the surface, but I can see it.
Sure, yeah.
So we're sitting here grappling, and I'll be like, okay, I just want to get in this position. Uh-huh. Like, it'll be something small, like, I'll make sure when I get to his half guard, I make sure I staple his wrist, and I have an underhook.
Yeah.
And I beat his knee.
Uh-huh.
Those three things.
Right.
So he doesn't rock up into, like, the Dogtown position or...
Dogfight.
Yeah, dogfight. Yeah. Still getting used to the 10th Planet names.
Sure,
and stuff
we're weirdos over here, so...
Yes, yes. Cool weirdos, though. I like it.
For sure.
Or I'll be like, okay, I want to get to, and I'll do this to everybody, like, okay, I want to get to mount.
Uh-huh.
And once I get to mount, I just want to work on holding it. Mm. Like today when we're rolling, I just wanted to set up the crucifix.
Sure.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just random stuff that pops in my head. I'm like, oh, okay, crucifix.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's just a goal for that round.
Yeah.
Do you have it set for like an entire like day's worth of like a goal or it varies per roll?
Yeah. If I'm getting ready for a fight, I'll have days where I'm like, okay, I'm going to start on my butt in my guard or open guard, and I'm going to make sure I'm able to stand up or submit.
Mm.
And I'll just work on, I'll force everybody, no matter what size, I'm like, okay, I'm starting in my guard. Yeah. I need to either stand up, roll out, or look to set up my front headlock or do something. Because I don't want to be on bottom during a fight.
Yeah, definitely.
And then on some days, I'm like, okay, I want to work on top position.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy top level headed wrestler, like let's say I just got a takedown during a fight.
Yep.
I want to make sure I'm either looking to sit in their half guard and imagining I'm doing punches, or I'm looking to take the back. I'm only putting myself in dominant positions.
Gotcha.
Like, I want to work from positions, and then other days I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take some of the most dominant submissions. I'm gonna put myself in them. Like I'll sit there and ask people, like, hey, put me in your triangle. You have a really good triangle. I'm gonna work out of it. I might be stuck for the entire round, but I know I'm getting that much closer to getting my triangle defense perfect.
Definitely.
So I'm just trying to cover all holes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a very mature, like, way of going about it, because that's the only way you get better. Like, you know your game the best, and you putting yourself in, specific positions that you know you need to improve on, like, that's the only way you're going to get better. It's like, because, like, a coach's program... Like, coaching a class is, like, the hardest thing because you have so many different...
it's so broad and everybody's at different levels. Yeah. And everybody's just... You don't know how everybody's viewing the technique. And that's the hard part as a coach.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's the... all different skill levels and you need to, like... cater to certain people more, and you have to kind of give the advanced students a little bit extra to chew on and whatever. Yeah. So for yourself, you have to direct your own training. You have to direct, like, okay, what do I need to shore up, what am I good at, like, and have specific depending on your training schedule and your how, like, if you're in camp or not, or whatever, if there's something specific or a game plan that you're trying to work on.
Sometimes, especially at the 10th Planet open mat, I'll just say, hey, I just want to have fun, let's just flow.
Yeah.
And it's not that I'm going at a flow pace, but I'm not rolling with an objective. I'm just rolling, just roll.
Sure, yeah.
Just because, like, there's some days where I wake up and I just want to roll. I don't want to have to think about it, because I feel like I've been doing it long enough to where I can just let my body move, and I'm thinking, but I'm not... thinking, like, okay, I'm trying to get to this triangle in this position. How am I going to make this person give me this reaction to get this triangle? More or less, like, boom, we're in half guard. Okay, now that we're in half guard, I'm sliding over into mount. Okay, now we am out. Oh, I'm back in my guard. I shouldn't have posted right there.
Right.
Now I'm like, okay, it's more or less like a flow. Instead of trying to, like, okay, I'm going to get to this position.
Sure. Like, it's a matter of, like, winning those little battles. Like, identifying the battles and... like, you can get out of it as much thought as you put into it. Like, wherever you end up, you're like, okay, I'm in bottom half guard. Okay, I need an underhook, or I need whatever. If I'm going deep half, I need to, like, get underneath them or whatever. So it's like you can be it doesn't necessarily matter. I mean, yes, like intentionally putting yourself in positions is good, but also like, yeah, you can get out like a productive role with no set objective, like from the outset. You just kind of find objectives as you go along, seems like.
Yeah. One thing that I like doing sometimes after I'm rolling with people, I ask people, like, I think he heard me ask during this morning, like, was I leaving that Kumar out or were you setting it up?
Sure.
He's like, a little bit of both. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Now, the whole ride to work, I'm like, how do I stop him from setting up that Kumar?
Yeah.
He's got me twice today. And I'm sitting here like, how is my elbow up? And I'm like, my elbow wasn't up in this position because he got it when I was in deep half guard.
Yeah.
And I was on bottom and I was sitting here like, how did he grab it? Like, nobody else is able to grab it. But Jordan just, I feel like Jordan's jiu-jitsu is just, it's like if Gumby was alive.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Definitely.
Like I'll be sitting there in his guard, and then he could just bring his own big tone and put it on his nose, and he's choking and I'm sitting there like, you shouldn't be able to do this. This isn't fair.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, it's, I think that's the, I mean, getting back to like, going back to the film study, all that kind of stuff, like, I think the most basic way people can, like, review their own training is just by talking to the person. Yeah. Like right after the roll is, like, having just a quick, like, review of, like, hey, what happened? Or in that one particular position, what were you thinking there? Or how did you get me there? If you're a lower belt, especially, it's like, what did you get me with? Like, lower belts are, like, this is all new. Like, they have no idea that certain submissions are available, that they're leaving certain things open.
So I'm still semi new to like the whole 10th planet thing where they're using like rubber guard and they have a lot more flexibility.
Yeah.
I've always been flexible. I just never knew how to like properly use it.
Sure.
Always been like more like, okay, I'm look to sweep you. And once I get on top, I can work from there.
Yeah.
But now that I'm learning more like the 10th planet ways, I like to call it.
Sure.
I'm sitting here like, oh, it's almost like art. Like, you ever seen, like, an art paint on the canvas?
Mm-hmm.
That's almost, like, how I feel like now, like, when rolling. And I'm like, oh, this is, it's all connecting together. Like, this makes sense.
Like, it's flowier or what?
Yeah. Because I feel like I used a lot more muscle in positions before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, more or less, like the Dogtown position, right?
Dogfight.
I keep on thinking dog. I used to go to this wrestling club named Dogtown. I think that's what it is.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Dogfight. So, when I'm coming up to my underhook.
Yeah.
And I'm stepping over, like, maybe my right heel's heel to heel.
Uh-huh.
Like, I used to always think, okay, I have to come straight up to my knees and either not shelf them, but get my two hands on one of their knee, and I'm either driving them forward or rolling through.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm gonna hit one of these two moves, and I'll be stubborn in my head, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna hit this two moves. It didn't matter what size the person was. I'm like,
sure.
Either I'm going through or I'm coming over. Yeah. Either way, I'm gonna get the sweep.
Yeah.
And when that wouldn't work, I would just pause, and then somehow would end up getting darts or something.
Yeah.
But now that I'm like, okay, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna wait for your reaction. I want to see what your body motion is telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm gonna take you what direction I want you.
Yep. Yeah. And that's definitely for 6 a.m. is a. And do you train at the other times too?
Or? When I first started going, I did the 9 a.m., which is the MMA, and then the 11 a.m., I used to just stay for it.
Gotcha.
But with me working more, I'm doing more of the 6 a.m.
Okay, cool.
One of these days, I'm going to be able to make Andy's class in the afternoon.
That's crazy, yeah.
Oh, I made the last hour one time
because
I got off work early, like out of nowhere, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to go. I think I even rolled in my lifeguard shorts that day. I was like, I don't have any clothes, but I just want to roll during Andy's class.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
Andy's jiu-jitsu was sick.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely big, exciting, like very, I mean that's what sells is like super exciting, and, like wrestling.
Yeah. At the end of the day, jiu-jitsu. Whether you're like a wrestler, jiu-jitsu, any type of martial artist, if you're competing, you're putting your skills on like for a performance.
Yeah.
So in a way you're a performer.
Artist. Yeah. You're like you artist. Mentioned art. Yeah.
You're an artist.
Yeah.
So why not come up with something that either A, no one's ever done before.
Yeah.
Or B, you're able to get the crowd in tune and make them feel like you almost threw the fight.
Right.
And that's what I like doing. Like I like to like, even if I'm fighting in a area where nobody knows me.
Sure.
People are gonna walk away and be like, okay, I'm
rooting for it. I'm rooting for him.
Like if
yeah,
I see
yeah.
him fight in the future, if he ever comes back, I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. That's good. That's so cool.
Always like getting like the crowd involved, and I don't know how I do it. It just ends up happening.
Sure.
Like I don't like go around like waving my hands up or pointing to people. It's just something that's like, it's something that happens unintentionally, but I like that it happens, but I don't know how it happens.
Sure. Like your style is built for being more
exciting. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I feel like my style's meant to be on the big stages.
Yeah.
Like whether it's UFC or one, I would say Bellator, but Bellator doesn't have 25er yet. Bellator make a 125 weight class. So.
Yeah, Scott Coker is totally a listener of this podcast.
I'll tag him. Right. You never know. Maybe somebody's looking at this years from now.
Right.
And they're like, yo, like.
That's where the idea was.
Yeah. Like somebody was like, some random kid said on the podcast.
And right.
Now they're like, I could make some more money by adding one more weight class, huh?
Right?
And I would have more fighters in the lineup.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Maybe we'll see. So. But yeah, that's cool. I guess what I don't know where I was going with that. Let me see if there's any like other questions that. Oh yeah, I guess since we kind of are in a what I call the grappling network, where it's like you know so many people through jiu-jitsu just because we roll with so many different people every day. I guess, do you feel like you I don't know, I tend to have like, I feel like I have a guy for everything. There's like everyone, yes. There's so
I know
many
exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
like, I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know how, but it makes sense. Like
right.
I know certain guys are really good at certain positions.
Sure.
Like Joe. I know if I need help with my front headlock, I'm calling Joe.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Joe, I was in this position, I think a couple weeks ago too. I was like, yo, I was trying to finish my prayer choke. He did some weird spinning thing that I ended up in mount.
Uh-huh.
And I knew the mount was a good position, but I still wanted to choke.
Right.
So all you had to do was drive your grip towards the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, man, damn. Because it was a little detail.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
But like Andy, uh-huh. I like picking his mind about flying triangles. Every time I see him, I'm like, got something new for me?
Right.
So yeah. Just, I feel like everybody has their own little style.
Yeah.
But what makes me excited about that, I can't wait for some little kid out there to want to pick my style apart. Like, Rashad, how you do that?
Right.
I'm okay, I did it like this. I don't know why I did it like this, but it just made sense because of how their body felt.
Yeah. So. Yeah, like it's a passing down kind of like tradition. And that's another great thing, like of all this check box thing that we're talking about is like, there's a mentorship aspect. Mentee being mentored and mentoring others.
That is true. That is true.
Like, do you feel, do you have specific, I mean, I guess your coaches and whatever, and you pick your brands of like the top three guy or whatever, and it's a open enough kind of vibe where nobody's trying to like hide secrets or anything like that. Like,
no.
Right. Like you feel comfortable. Is there any one particular person that you would call, your mentor or,
I do not.
Or a handful of people, I guess. Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, I mean that, but it's kind of like a being raised by a village where it's like you're in the community of all these different like high level guys.
Yeah.
And you're able to just pick Andy's brain randomly, whatever. No, like ADCC veteran now and whatever, Joe Stevenson or whoever else is like, you have access to all these people here.
Yeah.
And that's,
I feel like, I feel like I've had like a couple different mentors throughout like my, grappling and MMA journey and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it always changes like every couple years. But I feel like every mentor I've had is during the right, perfect time. Like right now, I've been picking Marab's mind like crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the perfect time for that.
Uh-huh.
Like, so my very last fight, like I lost in the third round, did TKO. I remember I was just feeling so down about myself. And I remember Marab, he said, hey man, you're 20.
Yeah.
I was like, I still could have won. He's like, you're 20. 2-0. Like, I started when I was 20.
Uh-huh.
He's like, but you're 20 now and you have all this experience. Like, just keep on. Just keep on coming in. I promise you. Just stay consistent.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Uh-huh.
You will be happy.
Yeah.
And just hearing those words like, hey, Rashad, you're 20. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing on around you. Just keep on picking at this dream. Sooner or later, this dream going to happen sooner or later.
Yep. So. Definitely. That's cool. Yeah, I started jiu-jitsu at 21. So.
Really?
Yeah. For reference, I'm 31 now, so it's...
I had a goal of earning my black belt before I turned 21, so I wanted to get my black belt where I could legally drink.
Okay.
But I didn't go to belt promotions, and I took a little bit of break off of jiu-jitsu and stuff, sure. So I think I'm going to have to push it back.
Right.
But I feel like everything happens for a reason and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, no, but it's time to develop.
Yeah, I can say I do. I am thinking about doing IBJJF Worlds this year.
Okay.
For Nogi.
All right. Yeah.
So I think I could take that at purple belt.
Nice.
I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not like preparing for like a fight or anything.
Right.
It just depends.
Yeah. So what draws you to grappling competition versus like you're trying to be whatever UFC fighter? Yeah.
Don't
some
mind
to
pause you. Do you mind if I use your bathroom?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. I'll pause. Yeah. Okay. So for viewers at home, camera died. So we may have part of the video and maybe we won't have part of it.
I think we might be good. I remember seeing like a 3-2-1 thing, like maybe a minute before.
Oh, before we took a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I think
we should be good.
Okay, cool. Anyways. So, I was about to ask you like, You're staying active, like competing, like even though like you want to primarily be an MMA fighter, what draws you to like grappling competition?
When I see the like top level guys in the UFC who can grapple,
yeah,
like Charles Oliveira, he made okay. Looking at his jiu-jitsu during fights just makes me want to hop in every jiu-jitsu tournament I can.
I see. Okay.
Just striving to the top level, and I've always been taught like, in order to become the best mixed martial artist you can be, you have to learn every art for its art. Like, I don't learn wrestling so that I don't pick through wrestling and be like, okay, I'm only going to learn this because it's going to transfer into my MMA.
Uh-huh.
I learn wrestling for wrestling, jiu-jitsu for jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai for Muay Thai.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, not all the techniques like transfer over and stuff like that, but that's part of the fun part, putting it all together.
Sure. Like, it's, like people just want to learn takedown defense or whatever, right? They don't learn the timing and the whatever, everything else with wrestling. Or jiu-jitsu, they just want to learn submission defense or learn submission defense. But guess what? You have to learn both. Yeah. you can't just pick and choose.
You have to learn both in order to understand it fully, you know?
Exactly. So. Yeah, so yeah, that makes sense. So you want to immerse yourself in the art in order to get better at it as itself, but then also to be able to effectively incorporate it.
Yeah,
into
and apply it during your like technique and in live roles and stuff like that.
That's cool. Sweet. Well, yeah, this is officially the longest podcast I've done so far. So we've ran into some technical issues maybe, but yeah, anything you want to shout out or plug or whatever?
I have one sponsor I want to say thank you to, hashtag JB Sports. It's a really big tape company coming out of San Diego.
Cool.
They've taken care of my hands so that I don't break them or anything.
Oh, awesome.
Big Surge. There's this guy back home named Big Surge. He does like a lot of tapes for Anderson Silva and stuff like
that.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
So he's made me like a couple sets of like knuckle pads and stuff like that.
Because
like there's a brief point where I would like hit the bag and I would rap, but my hands would just ache and hurt.
As
soon as he started making me knuckle pads and stuff like that, my hands started feeling a lot better.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I use their tape for fights. I use their tapes on my wrestling shoes.
Oh, wow.
I think that tape is the best tape out there.
Awesome.
So I absolutely love it. So thank you, JB Sports, for always helping me protect my money makers and stuff like that.
Awesome. Sweet. All right. And also look for Rashad at Submissions on the Shore, October 22nd?
Yes.
You mentioned? Cool. Sweet. Look for him to take that home. And is there a cash prize on
yes,
for that
it's
one?
I think it's $1,100 or $1,200 cash prize.
Oh shit.
And then the only other thing I have to say is look for Satterwhite Takeover on all platforms between Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you just type in Satterwhite, I come up on everything.
Awesome.
So
sweet. All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I had lots of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, that was great. Sweet. All right. Catch you later.
Cool.